Number 31 in our hard-covered books. Jesus Christ is all I need. Number 31. Sing our camp theme song. I haven't sung it yet since I've been here, so now's a good time to sing it. Holiness Unto the Lord, number 385. 385. Praise God. Somebody sent me a ringtone of the trumpets playing Holiness Unto the Lord. So now, wherever I am, you call me on my cell phone, I'll be reminded of Pilgrim Camp. That's great. Holiness Unto the Lord, 385.
Call unto holiness, church. praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God.
Lord, let the camp be holiness unto the Lord today. So important. Yesterday we were talking about Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, talking about God's presence in our midst and in our hearts. And I was reminded of something that I heard about Brother Hans Waldfogel. He was the founder of the Ridgewood Fellowship, and he was here at the camp one season. And the story goes that he began to groan. It was unusual. People saw him sitting there, and he seemed to be groaning in the spirit somehow. And they didn't really know what to make of it, but they knew something was going on. And then he told what had happened. He said that the Lord showed him what the camp would be like if it was given over to the flesh, and we didn't maintain holiness unto the Lord. And he was just groaning as he saw the Spirit lift and the glory depart. And then he saw camp turn into just any other vacation place given over to the flesh. And it troubled him greatly. And he began to pray, I'm sure, and get others to pray that God would keep his presence upon these grounds and that he would keep it holiness unto the Lord. The Lord promised that. He said, if we would keep this place holy, we would strive, I suppose. He meant by that if we would acknowledge his holiness and strive to please him, and that he would set his presence upon these grounds. But if we didn't, then he wouldn't be able to manifest himself in the way that he does. And I think about that once in a while. And then you wonder about what real holiness is. Is it wearing skirts and a t-shirt at the beach? Things like that. Well, that might be an appropriate expression of what's going on in our hearts. But holiness is really a matter of the heart, isn't it? You can cover yourself up and walk around with a hood all day, but that's not going to make you holy. But holiness is a matter of the heart. It's a heart that wants to please Jesus all the time. It's God raising his standard in our hearts. And as I'm at camp, I've been praying, Lord, you raise the standard. You keep this place holiness unto the Lord. We're not able to do that. We might not even fully understand what that means. But Lord, this is your camp, and this is what you want. And so, Lord, do that for us. And God does that by his dealings with us. The Holy Spirit is faithful to establish the holiness of Christ in our lives. And so as he deals with you about things, you surrender them to him. Reach out for his grace. Keep striving to please Jesus all the time. And in that way, God changes our hearts and makes us to desire to be holy, even as he is holy. And so don't get the impression that by obeying the rules and regulations that makes you holy. Holiness is a matter, is an inward matter. And God just doesn't want us to be holy at camp, but he wants us to be holy as he is holy, everywhere. And of course, that will reflect itself in the way we dress and in the way we speak and in the way we treat others and the way we conduct ourselves in public and in private. If it's the real thing, it's going to be shine through our lives in some way, in some practical way. But we have to be careful not to think that the dress is holiness or the action or the conduct is holiness. Jesus is our holiness. And as we're united to him, and as we allow him to live out his life in us, then we can truly become holy as he is holy. Yes. But But I'm glad the Lord put that theme over the camp, gave that theme to the camp. And there have been those that have really taken that very seriously over the years. And because they have done that, God has been able to do wonderful things for us. We ought to thank God for our leaders of the past that have really paid a price to follow God's call. You know, as you go on in your Christian life and in the ministry, you realize sometimes there's a price to pay. Not everyone's going to be in agreement with you, and not everyone's going to understand what God's call is over your life. Sometimes you have to just walk alone with the Lord and do what He wants and know that He sees and that that's all that matters. Praise God. And that's how it is in all of our lives. Your friends won't always understand why you live the way you do, why you don't do some things and why you do other things. But the Lord understands. He's called you, and He's pleased when we take heed to His call. And so, Lord, we pray that You will make the camp today holiness unto the Lord. We can't do that, Jesus. But, Lord, You are the one that must establish that in our hearts and in our midst, and we're trusting You to do that today. We pray that You will deal with sin. We pray that You will cause cleansing to be ministered to us today. We pray that You will cause light to increase in our souls and help us to walk in the light as You are in the light and have fellowship one with another. And let that blood of Jesus cleanse us from all sin. Do it for our children, Lord. Give them a desire to be pure and holy. Lord, we live in such a corrupt world, and there's so much filth that they have to deal with at school and at home and in the city and wherever they are. And Lord, only but You can keep them. You can put a cry in their heart to please Jesus, and You can open the way and fill them with Your grace and enable them to live close to You and be kept by You. And we're praying that for them. Lord, we think of those in the Bible that grew up in such corrupt times, and yet You were able to keep them clean and use them for Your glory. And we are praying that in these days, prior to Your coming, that You will raise up a company of people that walk with You in white by the Spirit that dwells within us. Oh, we thank You for it today. We thank You for a good day, Lord. Thank You for the measure of sunshine that we're enjoying thus far. We pray that You'll just smile upon the camp today. We pray that You'll bless the campers and all the workers and every guest, even people that step on the grounds to bring deliveries and such. Lord, let them sense that there's something different about this place. And let them somehow be made aware that it's Jesus, and that He's honored here, He's loved here, and He loves them too. Praise God. And now we commit ourselves to You, Lord, and pray that You'll have Your way in this gathering this morning.
Yes, Lord.
And that You will just draw very near to us, Lord, and continue Your good work in each of our lives, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just one other thing I wanted to say to maybe clarify something that I spoke about last night. Just in passing, I sort of mentioned something about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and that there are those that don't believe that the gifts are for today. And I didn't mean to come across sarcastic. If I did, forgive me. I understand that there are many people that have had no contact at all with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We had people that come to our Pentecostal church now. They've come from other denominations, and they've never really seen the Lord work through the gifts. And then there are those that whatever they have seen have been greatly abused and sort of discredited that whole doctrine to them. I come from a different background. I had the privilege of being under the ministry of very godly people who made their walk with Jesus more important than the gifts. And they walked in holiness, and they really sought to please God, and then God would use them. And sometimes they would lay hands on you, and God would speak through them. And it always drew you to Jesus, always did something to help you to serve Him better, always brought about some change in your life that you needed to be more of what He wanted you to be. They never prophesied over you that you were going to be a great person or anything like that. Didn't give you a whole bunch of direction in your life that you didn't know anything about at all. I often found out that whatever God dealt with me through these ministers, He had already begun to deal with me already myself. And it was a confirmation, and then it was added light and help. And I could trust it because I knew that God had already spoken to me about that. And I could also trust it because I knew something of the lives of the people that God was using. There was a meeting one time, I understand, I have it on tape, where Brother Gardner, worshiping the Lord, spoke in tongues, shouted out in tongues, and then everybody began to march around. March around, did a Jericho march, we call that. You know, someone got up and started marching around the church, and others joined them, and they were praising the Lord. And then at the end of the meeting, a missionary from India stood up and said, "I was sitting in that meeting, the meeting tonight, and Brother Gardner, in perfect Hindi, shouted out something that the Lord is here, let us rise and take the victory." And then somebody else, not knowing what he said, got up and started marching around, and others joined him. And God gave a great victory that day. Well, not everyone that speaks in tongues speaks in a known language, an earthly language, but once in a while we hear that happen. And it's usually when we need it. And of course, there was a great encouragement and blessing to the congregation that God had spoken. There's no doubt about it. Brother Gardner didn't know any Hindi that I know of. And I think it was just as much a surprise to him as it was to anybody else. But God spoke. And God took control of that meeting and called attention to that. And so this is the type of thing that I've heard about and been in contact with. My parents taught me about the carefulness of the servants of God along these lines. And so it's not hard for me to accept that God still works through the gifts of His Holy Spirit. But I need to be sympathetic toward those that have had bad experiences in the past and be loving and patient with them. As I said last night, that any teaching that God is through with the gifts, I would like to certainly see a lot more of that than one or two verses in the Bible, if that's the case. So these people have their reason for believing what they do, and many of them have just been taught that since they've been young. But you know, when you really come in contact with the Holy Spirit and His working, and you see what that does in your life and how it draws you to Jesus, then you say, "Oh God," you recognize that the gifts are channels through which Jesus comes to us. We come into the meeting, we say, "Lord, come to me. Lord, manifest yourself. Lord, touch my life." Well, we don't want to close all the channels that He decides He wants to flow through. But we want to open them wide and say, "Lord, whoever you want to use, however you want to use them, that doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus comes to us, that Jesus speaks to us, that Jesus changes us." And so I hope I made myself clearer than perhaps I did last night. And I certainly didn't want to come across with a bad attitude about that. We thank God. Amen. Thank God. And we pray. Amen. I pray that my children will experience the moving of the Holy Spirit in the way that I came in contact with it as a child. And even more so. And sometimes it concerns me that in our Pentecostal churches we don't see the Lord manifesting Himself as freely through the gifts as we did in the past. But we have to be careful because we're not to get occupied with gifts. It comes when we get occupied with Jesus. And so we do well to just exalt Him and desire Him and abandon ourselves to Him. And He will give the gifts as He chooses, to whom He chooses, when He chooses, but it's all Jesus coming to us, and that's the thing that thrills our soul. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Well,
amen. Let's continue to worship him. Let's sing Channels Only. We sang a verse of it last night. I think it's number 120 in our red books, hardcover books. 120. Channels Only. Yes.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
the Lord, praise the Lord.
Key to sing it in two.
Like the woman,
maybe better.
I was searching for things that could not satisfy. And
As Peter preached to them, we heard the other night, the Holy Spirit came down in a gentle embrace and filled every one of us.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus.
Let's be still and let him work for a moment. God is working very definitely. If you don't know what to do in a time of silence, just tell Jesus you love him. Over and over again. Before we look into our Bibles, let's sing Holy Spirit, Breathe on Me.
112.
Thank you, little boy. 112.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Believe that God is doing it. It's like a cup. You try to fill it up, it doesn't overflow right away. But it's being filled for sure. And every time we reach out to God and believe Him to fill us with His Spirit, we need to believe that He's doing it. And the overflow will come. You can be sure of that. But don't get discouraged if it doesn't come right away. Just keep yourself under the faucet, where the living water is flowing. And you'll see eventually there'll be such an overflow, and you'll thank God that He gave you the grace and the desire to seek Him like that and to trust Him to do what He promised to do. Praise God.